restart it.
I would restart
it. You're cutting this week, right?
Yeah, make it easy for Jonesy.
Yeah. If it was me, I'd just leave it. But.
Stretchy. Man, I had a really good Euro just now. I'm probably going to fall asleep in the middle of shit.
Wait, Euro? Are you talking about the
The food?
I was making sure, because I don't know.
It's supposed to be a Euro
thing. Well, the thing is, I don't think... No, I just don't think when I have one of those, I don't necessarily feel like lazy, because usually it's, you know, has all sorts of actual nutrients in it. It's not like you just had a burger or anything.
That's what I usually get my burgers made out of. So I would go to Euro joints and I would say, I want a burger, but with lamb. Put that in there.
That works, does it? Burger. Is that the international sign for burger? Burger with lamb.
No. It's like, yeah, all of that in there.
I got you now. So you're pointing to the menu. All of that in that bun. Gotcha.
All of that in there. In there. I always think of, I think it was Triple X when he was trying to get his car souped up. He's like, I want you to put all of that in there.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want in there? All of it. He was showing him different levels of gun, right up to the bazooka. He said, "So which one do you want? I want all of it." What the fuck?
All of it.
And I still.
That reminds me of like the ending of God. Was it the ending of XXX? Like in the DVD release,
God.
They had that short at the end where XXX dies.
Yeah, where they had to kill him. Yeah.
Where they had to kill him, and literally it's like this heavy fucking scalp just plops on the fucking ground with the triple X in the back.
With the tattoo,
like,
yeah.
You have the tattoo, and I was just like, that's dark. They just fucking went there.
Well, did you see that Kevin Smith released Clerks, the Snyder Cut, which is just the original ending with Dante getting shot, and then it goes straight to credits?
It's funny.
Yeah.
They just label it the Snyder Cut and put it out on YouTube.
All I'm taking away from this conversation is that everyone else was excited about XXX except for Nick. Nick was like,
No, I remember seeing that theater. I saw that theaters and I never went back to that movie theater because the audience was so into it and I was so not into it. It was just annoying.
What's wrong with you? That's just America.
It's like, what the fuck? Why are people having a good time?
Then there was the line, hey, XXX, this thing's off the hook. And that was like in the first 10 minutes. And I'm like, yeah. Off the hook on my bingo sheet. That's about. I'm done paying attention.
So it sounds
there
like
are
it sounds
three
like
three triple X movies.
So the Nick bump is a recent occurrence, is what it sounds like to me. That's like that's probably post college.
There are plenty of movies I hate now too.
don't worry. I hate things.
Yeah. Such as.
Hobbs and Shaw, which is basically
Hobbs and Shaw. Hobbs and Shaw was awful. That is so true.
You know basically what's weird? Okay. I would watch Triple X 10 times if I could erase that from my mind.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hobbs and Shaw was so embarrassing. Like, I feel bad. Like, it literally, as I was watching it, I was like, do I hate The Rock now? I think I might. It started me to question. And I love The Rock because I like a lot of the stuff he does. What was the thing he does? The Titan Games? I love that.
Yeah, that was awesome. Cool. That was cool. Yeah.
And I'm like, do I hate the Titan Games now? Did I never like the Scorpion King? Come on, like, what's going on here?
I'm Scorpion King at the end of the movie.
No, oh, my word.
I'm talking about the direct DVD video fuel. Movie that came out.
Didn't that come to theaters?
Theaters. Sure.
Was it shit?
Yeah, the Scorpion King was a theatrical release, but all the sequel, yeah. All the sequel/prequels were not. Those were all straight to VOD. But
we should
the original
sink.
Scorpion King was a big one.
No.
Sorry.
We have to wait.
No, sorry. Not saying it. Sorry.
Is everyone recording?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe?
I don't know what that
I was
going
to start yelling at us again.
Earpiece and scream was the recording.
That's right. You guys ready?
Is that a yes?
Right, Jamie, yeah. You want to do it. Go ahead.
3, 2, 1. Okay, you guys made this useless because I went about like 2 seconds or 3 seconds shorter than everyone else here.
It's all where it starts.
You stop.
I look at where it starts and chop the rest.
Or leave it. We sounded good. Barbershop quartet.
Dude, XXX.
Man, what was that one time? What was that one time we were singing from Stranger Things, Nick?
Yeah, it was a never-ending story.
Never-ending story. Yeah.
Me and Cam were trying to do it. I don't think you
were. And you were
doing
trying to do
that.
Oh!
I tried. That was awful. No, it just, we couldn't get the syncing right, even though we were just like, now we were on Zoom or something. It was Skype back then, but we couldn't even like sync it up over the internet. So we were just all over the place.
Are you ready, Nikki Poo?
Right, pop quiz. You even did that part.
Pop quiz, you three. Who was the singer that did that song, the theme song to Never End Story?
Oh, fuck if I know.
Come on. Come on.
I have no fucking clue. I couldn't even guess.
Somebody that would know, like, will you say the name Dustin. And I'll be like, oh, fuck, of course.
No, Lamal, you won't remember that. Had nice 80s rock star hair, Lamal. There you go.
What now the hell just happened, Nick? He jumped away from his microphone.
He's gone to get Lamal's CD to show us all that he was a fan. Was weak.
Look.
I've got all his albums.
That was a guy?
Yeah. Yes, it was a guy.
Really?
I can't tell you the spelling. I'm sure Google will tell it.
I'm trying to remember what that sounds like. I always thought it was a woman.
Does he have his Treyu edition of the soundtrack, Neverending Story? No.
No, he just came back from his coffee.
You guys ready to do a show?
Luck Dragon. Yeah, good idea.
Joe? Okay.
Playing with your Luck Dragon. Get back to your chair.
I honestly feel like it's way better when we just bullshit about nothing for most of the time and then maybe kind of talk about something. I'm actually debating, do we want to nix the news unless it's like something we really want to talk about and just bullshit for most of the time and then go into review?
So what's the news? The news is Captain America and...
So there's basically...
but it's all rumors.
Kristen Ritter.
Yeah,
it's basically rumors. Kristen Ritter. There's like a solo Storm film rumor. And then Feige basically talking about, yeah, maybe we could bring in those guys from those Netflix shows. I don't know.
Well, maybe not. Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe not.
So maybe that's the news. Like, who from the Defenders do you want to appear into the MCU, if anyone?
Okay, that's the news. That's good. I like it.
Let's do it. All right. Hello, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast premiere and flagship podcast. Fellow Room Online, I'm your host, Brandon Jones. And I got your normal cavalcade of folks, Joseph Jemmer Medina, Danny K. Bartlett, and Nick Dahl. Gents, what's going on?
Really good, really good.
Like how you doing? He phoned that in.
He phoned it in.
Is it really fast?
That was the Coke really version. Yeah. Yeah, that was the Micro Machines version.
Micro Machines. Night Attack.
Oh, okay.
Lamal, that's totally interesting. Dude.
It looks like Sting.
That was terrible podcast material because I just showed everybody a picture of a singer from the 80s. But, you know, for anyone that is listening.
So wait, was he a kid?
No, I think he was a fully grown adult. Just happened to have very
boyish
good looks.
He wrote the song and sang the song. He wasn't the kid in the movie singing the song.
I'm aware of that.
No, he's trying to, he is disturbed by his very high voice.
There you go, gents. Another picture of Lamal, the singer of the theme tune to A Never-Ending Story for the listener.
What is that
there.
On his head? Is that a fucking chinchilla? What is that?
I think it's the first iteration of Sonic the Hedgehog before we got what we got. Which would have been better, probably.
Gotta go fast. Hey, gotta go fast.
Base and knuckles off that guy, actually.
I'm going to tell my kids it's Sonic.
That reminds me of... Do you guys know the Venga Boys? Of course you don't.
Did you say the Venture Brothers? What?
No, the Venga Boys. It's like that one song.
The Venga Brothers.
That one song where they go, boom, 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 I want you in my room. I definitely used to think that was like a 13-year-old boy singing that, but I'm pretty sure it was a woman. So apparently I just have problem mixing you know, vocal genders.
Can't tell
a
man from a woman.
Apparently not. How does that make you feel, Jammer? How does that make you feel? Do you want to show us on the Nick doll where that gives you the feels?
The Nick doll. Oh, that was the lamest thing ever. I'm sorry.
That was the lamest thing ever. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It was what? It's a great joke. Keep it going. Jammer, what's the rumor?
So, I mean... It's been a week and a half of rumors. I will say this. There's been a lot of those things, you know, wish fulfillments and all that. But let's start with, Kristen Ritter reportedly in talks to join She-Hulk, which would make some sense. I think some Daredevil would also make sense. I don't think there's a rumor about that. Daredevil would make more sense.
It's a courtroom comedy.
Yeah. But this rumor comes courtesy of Daniel Rickman, who he's been shotgunning all sorts of stuff, not in drinking kind of way, but in like the shooting things kind of way, like just throwing all sorts of rumor.
I just have a question. Is that what I guess you're not on as often every day? I'm forgetting his name. She has an entire list of stories that seem impossible.
Oh yeah, Daniel Rick. Yeah, so basically
he makes many a day. No wonder he's right once. Well,
it's not a day. It's usually a week or every you know, random, whenever he has them, whenever he has like a batch of rumors to share, he's like boom.
And some of them are just just a rant. Some of them are stupid. Like one of them was like, there will be a tribute to Sean Connery.
He doesn't. It's like he doesn't make them up.
There's going to be a post credit tribute to Sean Connery in Indiana Jones 5. Any idiot could be like, I'm going to make up that rumor because there will obviously be a tribute of some sort.
Anyway. You know, I agree. Anyone could make up that rumor. I will say, I don't think he does. But I don't think that. What do you mean no one believes you? You did because you just make it up.
I could just say that and be like, I'm a source now.
That's not how it works, Nick.
I mean,
people. Anyway, here's the thing. Here's the thing I have to say about people who scoop. You know, obviously there are a lot of people who are wrong, but like they don't just go and make things up just for shits and giggles. Usually they have people who, you know, are proven, and that's who they go with. Just because the rumors are stupid doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong.
No, that one I just thought was funny because it's like someone being like, scoop, they're gonna honor Stan Lee and Captain Marvel at the day he dies.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have thought that they would have a Sean Connery.
I'm not
Connery
saying
tribute.
He's making them all up like that. I'm just saying that.
I wouldn't have thought, though. That's the thing is for me, I'm like, they paid his tribute in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull with
he
a photo.
He wasn't dead yet. That's why I would have thought.
I thought now he was dead.
No, he was alive. His character's dead, but the actor was alive when they shot him.
Yeah, relatively speaking.
Well, that's the thing. The character's
died,
dead.
Compared to
so they give him a statue.
Oh, yeah, the character died. That's why I assumed. Oh, I get it now because
so Connery's
he actually
died
is dead.
Since,
therefore,
they showed like a photo of him in the last one.
Yeah, I got it now.
Like,
I got
it's been a rough year.
But Marcus got a statue. So maybe they'll give him a statue.
So time. Now we know the Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls took place in year 2020. That's how.
Yeah.
Oh man, he was like, last year was a really rough year. We lost Dad.
Harrison Ford actually looks surprisingly good then. I take it back. I thought he looked awful, but now I think he looks pretty good in that film. For a guy that's 172 years old.
I saw this really funny video. It was like a bunch of Harry Potter scenes, except it was turned into 2020 memes. And one of them had, I'm not sure if you guys know, at the end where two characters die, you have Tonks and fucking Lupin basically dead there on like,
fucking,
you know,
spoilers.
Beds, whatever. Anyways, they're dead there. And then on them, they had like RBG and Alex Trebek. And I was just like, oh, come on. That was just like low blow out of nowhere.
Wait, who was who?
Tonks.
Who was the werewolf?
RGB.
Oh, okay. Alright. Interesting. So Alex is a werewolf.
Apparently. Or he was
before he passed away.
Before he passed away. Anyway, so the point is that she's rumored to appear in She-Hulk. She being Jessica Jones. And this has kind of opened up floodgate, you know, the rights, I believe, for Daredevil at this point. I'm not sure about the others. Probably Jessica Jones this month, I think, or maybe next month, reverting back to Marvel so they could use the character then. And I mean, assuming it's going to be a sort of a cascading thing, you know, I'm trying to remember when they came out.
Wasn't that Luke Cage based would be on the last time they were probably used? Not the last time.
Oh, you're right.
Well,
but I think it was
the most
Yeah, I guess it was. Maybe it would be next year then.
I think it's all within weeks or months of itself. So,
no, I don't think so.
Hers
I think
was
it's,
like hers
I think
was like
it's
what
about
maximum a year after Defenders and most of their last. Wait, no, Defenders wasn't even the last one for most of them. Never mind. I just stopped watching.
No, Daredevil
them.
Season
after
3,
Defenders.
Punisher 3,
Punisher
Iron Fist 3. Did Iron Fist have a 3?
They only Punisher got to 2 except for Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
Right.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I fell off on some of those shows because, well, Jessica Jones season 2 was terrible. I didn't watch season 3. I actually didn't watch.
I'm shocked you didn't answer me.
I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, you should watch that. Oh, in Slack, I said that fuck Jessica Jones. Like season 2 of that show was so horrific.
Yeah, I literally, I think we had one episode left and I didn't even finish that episode because I was just like, I don't care. Like, I don't, the mom was annoying. Hellcat girl was annoying. I was just like, this is just annoying.
Yeah, Trish Walker was Karen before Karen existed. And I just, it ruined
that. Oh, God. Anyway, so the point is that this is bringing up all sorts of potential stuff. They had rumors of Charlie Cox showing up in Spider-Man 3 along with the Harlem Globetrotters and Don Knotts. And then also we have this rumor regarding She-Hulk and Jessica Jones. And Collider had an interview with Kevin Feige, you know, the master overlord and producer at Marvel Studios and president. What?
I said Mephisto.
Exactly. And when asked about the potential to bring in some of those characters into the MCU proper, he went on to say, everything is on the board. That's one of the fun things about the comics is that characters would appear and disappear and come and go. All of it is inspiration for the future. There are some great characters and actors from those shows. So my question for you, Jonesy, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, where does this land on the politically correct spectrum of comments? And do you think there's any sort of weight to it at all?
10 being what and 1 being what?
Politically correct?
Oh, because he basically didn't say anything in that statement. Yeah. He basically said, everything's on board. Yeah, the characters are fun. It's cool in the comics. They can kind of hop in and out of each other. Blah, blah, blah. There's some characters.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's every interview with him, right? It's like every interview. Hey, Kevin, you want to do a thing? Like, yeah, I guess that'd be cool. Like, oh, Kevin said it would be cool if we did X, Y, Z, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so maybe. So you're saying there's a chance. That's everything. I mean, that's his job, right? To be as opaque as possible while still titillating the fanboys. So, yeah, I think it works. Of the characters that are on the table, I'm only interested in really seeing Daredevil. Like we said, Jessica Jones is...
Jessica Jones's character. I like her character though. I didn't like the second season, but I really like her character, and I think she represented the character really well. I like Kristen Ritter though. I'm a huge fan of hers. If you guys ever watch, if you get the chance, watch Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. It is fucking comedy gold. It's so good.
Second season was so bad that I couldn't continue. Luke Cage was okay. Iron Fist was okay. I didn't even finish Iron Fist. So
I didn't even watch The Punisher even.
And Daredevil. Oh yeah, and I forgot about The Punisher. I guess. Yeah. Like the weird thing to me is Daredevil is kind of a weird character in the sense like he doesn't really have superpowers, but of the people that they gave us in the Defenders and The Punisher, he's the only one that I see fitting in the actual MCU. Based on what we saw. Now, obviously, he can do something and do some tweaks, but yeah, he's the one for me. I'm excited.
Would you not think the Punisher would fit in the same way as Hawkeye fit, though? Because he's not got a superpower other than being a good shot. The Punisher's
but
got
I
this,
feel
this
like...
brutal ability to be a blunt force.
So there are a couple of things to that. I don't know what scenarios he would fit in. Like, I'm trying to think of a movie that I could see him in. Like,
how he's up against Crossbones.
I'll say the Punisher kills Deadpool or vice versa.
Yeah, I was going to say what? I don't know about that.
That would like be Deadpool interesting. That would Punisher. Be really interesting. Basically, have him be the Cable of the third movie and have him be Deadpool versus Punisher.
Just super annoyed by him all the time.
Yeah. That would be so good.
Why can't you die? And the other one's, why won't you die? Well, I keep pummeling you and you don't die, Punisher. And I do the same to you. Every time I shoot you, you come back. Why won't you just die?
The one movie we know, well, probably the only movie that will be rated R. You might as well stick to Punisher in that one. Even if
he gets slaughtered really by good. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Just to see him shoot him every time he irritates him.
You heard it here first. Punisher versus Deadpool. Punisher and Deadpool. Whatever it would be.
That'd
Dead
be
Punisher.
So
Deadpool.
Good.
No, Defenders and versus X-Factor. I mean, S-Force. And,
X-Factor!
Another rumor, or not rumor, another confirmed
America's
thing
got talent.
Came from Kevin Feige today. Kevin Feige, this week, said that they are having Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds is leading the script on that, and that it is going to be rated R. So
rated R, yeah.
Deadpool is coming to the MCU.
Didn't he also say that it's going to take place in the MCU?
Not R.
I think it's kind of a big deal.
It still might fall under the. I bet it still falls under 20th Century Picture. Well, if we're putting the Marvel Studios logo on it, you might as well put the Disney logo on it. Well, they don't put the Disney logo on at all.
They don't put the Disney logo on the Marvel.
Yeah. Never mind. Just call it Marvel Studios. Nick.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
I think while they're at it, they should put the
problem for their marketing team.
They should put the Disney Junior logo.
I love that Nick has gone from here with his pitch to like right here with all the weirdness. Yeah, like, hey, that was a really good pitch to Nick. What the fuck are you talking about?
Should have left after the first.
Spend all my credit,
Nick
right?
Dahl. Nick Dahl, a lot of high highs and low lows. Really, one of my really in close proximity to each other. Anyways, I one thing I do want to say is that I would like to see, and it's probably not going to happen considering Sony, I would really like to see Wilson Fisk show up in Spider-Man, a Spider-Man movie. That would be super awesome.
Which
I
one?
See that happen. I mean, it would not the third one. Not fucking, I don't want to see him alongside the Teletubbies in Spider-Man 3. Maybe Spider-Man 4.
No, not the movie.
You meant which version of Fisk?
What Danny said.
The one from the one from the Daredevil.
So you want Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
And the only problem is I don't see him be. I don't know. It's almost the worst player of Daredevil too. I love Daredevil season 3 so much. The ending, I almost don't want them to come back in some smaller insignificant role.
I mean, like, Lori's got a lawyer,
episode is so good.
Well, let me go ahead and ask you, Nick. Which characters do you want to see show up in the MCU, if at all? If you had to choose one, other than Daredevil.
First, when you mentioned it, I'm like, I want all of them. I want Heroes for Hire, all that. And now I'm like, no, I just want Punisher. Like, the other ones have had their time. Even Daredevil had a good run. The other ones just got boring.
Season 2 is so good. I almost feel like season 2...
I watched all Daredevil.
Or the first half of season 2. Second half of season 2...
Season
anything with the hand,
Daredevil, I think it's one of the best.
Yeah, it is.
Anything with the hand is bullshit. I hated the hand. It was like, yeah, I remember people always getting excited about the hand. I'm like, the hand is boring and nebulous. It's just doesn't.
The hand is like also what, yeah, made Defenders worse and Iron Fist even worse than it could have been. It was all about the hand. No, I'm saying season 3 of the Daredevil's like peak Daredevil.
Yeah,
awesome. I still need to watch it. That's a good thing.
Oh my god,
you should watch it right now.
Yeah. Season 3 is really
talking
good.
With you,
it's dicks. Probably if you
leave,
it would probably be your favorite since you don't like Punisher. I don't know.
I know I like Punisher as a character, but I just the thing is, I saw the trailers and I was like, do I want something that violent? I don't know if I want that. I don't know. Basically, was that? That was my.
I would just take. I would take my Punisher and throw him into Deadpool.
What about you, Danny?
Yeah.
Who would you want to see?
I'm with Deadpool and Punisher. I agree with you about Jessica Jones being a good character. I think it just needs she needs to be in a better pair of hands. And I don't mean mine. I just mean she needs to be better written and have a better character arc than she had in her own shows. But I do like the character. Yeah. But right now, as it stands, if you were to take the TV shows versions of Daredevil and Punisher, they're the two I would like to see integrated somehow in the MCU. But given the right writing, given the right directors, I reckon Jessica Jones would be pretty cool. Luke Cage and Iron Fist, nah, not bothered.
I'm surprised there's no love
you guys
here
think
for
they'd
Iron,
be better?
Iron Fist. Not Iron Fist,
well, I was
Luke
about
Cage.
To ask, do you guys think that they would be better if they just gave them their own movie?
That's what I was going to say first, or TV show.
Yeah. Oh, Heroes for Hire? Oh, yeah, sure.
Heroes for Hire. But even that, like, I'm kind of over after. Well, I guess... I would never have to watch.
You're over
shit.
It because you haven't seen them interact for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm over these actors, these characters, but in better hands, I'm not, I guess.
I think the best episodes of those shows were when they did interact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The little crossovers. Yeah. They were fun.
And I did hate, what's his name? Danny Rand less than most people. I feel like most people really didn't like him. And I was like, he's fine. He's fine. He's totally fine. But I mean, yeah, he's fine. He got a little milk toast, but I think that was mostly the writing.
Possibly.
Okay.
So, let's see here. Do you think it's going to happen, though? Or let's on a scale of 1 to 10, Mr. Bartlett, we'll start back from you. 10 being most likely, 1 being not going to happen.
Politically correct.
What is the potential of any of them actually making it over to the MCU proper?
I'm going to perch myself precariously on the fence and say I think it's no more than the 5 or 6.
Okay. Mm. But it's leaning slightly more to yes from the sound of it.
Yeah, of one of them. I definitely think like Daredevil, for example, because you say any of them. So I think if there's going to be one, it'll be Daredevil. Hence, it will be on the six side of the spectrum rather than the higher side, rather than lower. 5 to 6.
It's funny. I remember back when I was writing about, this was probably 2017 or something, maybe 16. I was writing about how, yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, these, I don't remember when the shows came out. They're basically not going to be tied to the MCU proper because Marvel TV and Marvel Studios and stuff. And I remember this one guy in the comments was not about me. He was not happy with my thoughts and opinions. And he would constantly call me out and say, fuck you, you piece of shit, you goddamn illegal immigrant, blah, 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 blah. Like, he would go into it out of nowhere. And he was very passionate about it. And part of me doesn't want this to happen just because I don't want him to be right retroactively.
Yeah, I must admit, I do apologize for that, Jammer. I'm a changed man now. I now appreciate your point of view.
That's good.
It was kind of weird how the beginning of those shows, they really did try to tie it together. They were like, oh, yeah, and then it just kind of went away.
Yeah,
they did reference the event, didn't they? The happening.
That was the whole premise of Daredevil. That was the whole premise of Daredevil, right. Is sort of like the new rebuilding and stuff of Hell's Kitchen and all the areas around it after the event. The incident. It was called
never
the incident.
Mentioned it again.
You're right. Like maybe the incident. Yeah.
No, Luke Cage. Luke Cage. They had some guy selling illegal bootlegs of the event, the incident, and I think there was something else.
DVDs, yeah. CDs.
Yeah, something like that. Or of
like a barbershop.
What?
They come in, they're like CDs, DVDs, and they have like socks.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, I know they're selling
down the street in New York.
Yeah.
In general. I got offered so many.
What? Money. What are you talking about? Nick?
DVDs, CDs, STDs. I was offered all that when I was in New York.
Walking down the street, getting offered STDs. Yeah, that happens in New York.
Get that herp, look. Get that hot herp.
Here's how they get you, all right?
Here's how they get you.
Here's how they get you. They're like, listen to
sex man, education with Nick Doll.
Does this sound tight? Because you put it in Nick your Dole ears, Dole. Right? No, no. Anyway, they give you a CD you're looking at, and you're like, oh, do you want to get it? And you're like, not really. You're like, let me put your name on it. And they sign your name on it. And you're like, shit, now I feel like I have to get it. And they're like, you've changed for a 20. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we got changed for a 20. And you give them a 20, you're like, no, what are you talking about? That was $20. And boom, that's how Nick had a burgeoning young artist CD after his first trip to New York.
That reminds me of when I was
Toys R Us on Times Square.
When I was in Peru, we had this guy come into the restaurant and he was just like, here's a CD, open it. And there was like a seal. He's like, open the seal. Here, hold this, open the seal. So basically once you open it, you had to buy it. And I was just like, no, I don't want to. And he's like, yeah, open it, it's fine. Just do it, just open it. I was like, I don't want to open it. No, I'm good.
What's in the box?
What's in the box, Jammer? What's in the box, Jammer?
In retrospect, I kind of wish I did open it. I didn't have a CD player. Actually, no, I guess not. Cause I don't have a CD player. I couldn't have listened to it if I wanted to. I wonder what the music was like. I'll never know.
The never-ending story soundtrack.
I did go listen to my guy's CD.
You did? Was it good?
No! There's a reason they're handing
out. That's why he's still
street.
In the street!
That's not true. That's not, yeah, but that's not fair.
You did
There's
pay
lots
20
of great
bucks for it. It must have been worth it. You did pay $20, Nick. I mean, that's a fair price tag for a DVD, a CD, whatever it was.
He did write the name of it on there instead of putting an image, which I appreciate.
He wrote your name on it.
Nick. No, he wrote the name of the CD was written on there. I prefer that to actual CD.
I thought he wrote your name.
Ah, I thought he wrote your name.
No, and I was like, what's your name? Your name's Nick? Okay, it's Nick.
Ah,
so he autographed it for you.
Yeah.
Huh. Wait, look at. Do you know what it's called? Hold on.
No.
Who was this guy?
I used to. Me and Dan Gosman, the guy at college, used to listen to it. Make fun of me.
I like how you named your friend first last name. You're like, me and Dan Gosman used to listen to it.
Shout out to Dan Gosman. Now in New York, maybe.
Anyway, I think we're
hitting the accomplishment that Jammer's original plan was for this podcast.
So here's the deal. I mean, the thing about this is that like this is cool how it's all mixing, and I think it's very fitting that these types of this. I mean, the Defender shit has been coming out for years, but I feel like we're actually getting more solid rumors in the past week and a half or so, which is fitting considering that WandaVision has just come out. The first two episodes have been released, but I know Jonesy, you got three screeners ahead of time. How many episodes did you get?
Three out of everybody else.
Sorry.
Three.
Oh, you got three. So everyone else got two. How long is episode three? Is episode three longer than episodes one and two? Because I know episode one is 30, nope. And then 36 is episode two.
Yeah, they're all about 30-ish minutes. The weird thing is the credits are very long.
Yeah, they're like 5 minutes.
Post credits.
Yeah, and so of course I'm sitting there watching, like, is there a post-credit scene happening? There's just nothing. There's nothing coming. The funny thing about it is, and this isn't really a spoiler, by the time you get to the end of episode three, you still feel like A, you don't know anything, and B, what you've really just seen is an extended version of all of the trailers that you've seen. So like the 90 minutes that I've seen is really everything that I've seen in all of the trailers that have come out. And so I have learned nothing, which is fine.
Because there are a few episodes.
Well, yeah. So I mean, that's sort of the comment that I'm seeing pretty much everywhere regarding this show, is that like they're not really moving the plot forward. It's more of just kind of like really sitting and steeping inside the weird sitcom world. And I want to hear from Danny. You seem, based on your chat in Slack, you didn't seem to be completely enthralled by it, and we're kind of just like waiting for stuff to happen. How have you felt about them going all in on the sitcom angle?
Well, listening to Jonesy just say that episode number three was pretty much the same, I was sitting there thinking, oh no, really? I've got to sit through another episode of that sitcom thing. I'm bought into it at the moment, and sadly I'm going to say it's because it's Marvel. Right now they haven't captured me for any other reason. I appreciate the little, I know we're not going to go into spoilers too much just yet. I appreciate the little nods.
I mean, there's nothing to spoil, really. You know, I say,
well, that's the problem, right? That's one of the problems, is there's nothing really much happened. The first episode I enjoyed because it was comedy. Oh, this is what would happen if Wanda and Vision were in a 50s or 60s sitcom or whatever. It was ha, ha, ha. And then the second one was, still that. Okay, a little bit more color, a little bit more other characters going a little bit off, you know, off the reservation, so to speak, to hint that something outside is manipulating this. But I'm just not bought into it yet. And I often feel like, am I the only one? Everyone seems to be really excited about it, and I'm just meh. Like, when Mandalorian was coming out, okay, when it dropped on Friday, I was like, fucking can't wait. 12:30, I'm going to watch the next episode, boom. When this drops about the same time, I'm like, well, maybe I'll watch it Saturday afternoon when I get back from work. I'm not that fussed about it at the moment. And I'm not, and I think I might be in the minority at the minute. Shall I just get my coat and leave?
Do you think that has anything to do with the scope, though? Because the scope of Mandalorian is much larger than this.
Possibly.
This is very,
like, I'm trying to figure out why I'm not.
It's a sitcom.
I mean, yeah. I think you're hitting on the head. You want stuff to happen. To me, like, for me, the enjoyable thing is, I used to grow up watching UPN 44, Digital 45, where you'd watch shit like, you know, all of the old shows, or, you know, Nick at Night, you'd watch I Love Lucy and Happy Days and shit. And then, like, this, it legitimately feels like going back to one of those shows and being like, oh, that's still kind of funny. That's still enjoyable. Yeah. And I think they really capture the essence of it really well. All while, you know, it's they stand alone as like their own little sitcom episodes, like almost entirely. And then you just have that slight undercurrent of, we know something weird is going on, something that obviously is going to pay off. But at the same time, like, I was having fun, you know, just kind of watching the show and enjoying just sort of the slapstick, stupid shenanigans between Wanda and Vision. Yeah. And I thought it was fine. I thought it was a lot of fun. And having him sing Yakety Yak out of nowhere just felt perfect. It was so perfectly stupid. It's like, oh, it's legitimately like exactly, it feels exactly like an old sitcom. And I appreciate it so much. It just kind of takes me back without it being exactly those shows, but feeling exactly like those shows. And I remember as I was watching it, I was kind of having, you know, thinking about it. I was like, man, I don't think I would have 4 years ago, or 3 years ago even, I don't think I would have believed that Marvel would be doing something this sort of off kilter and weird. And I appreciate the fact that they really are swinging hard for it, and really just going weird. because I didn't think they have the guts to do something this weird. And I appreciate it for that. Even if it, like, you know me, I always like the weird shit. I'm like, give me an M. Night Shyamalan movie that doesn't make sense just because it's different from everything else. I'll enjoy it for that. Like The Happening. I don't love it. Yeah, I think it's really entertaining.
It's his favorite fucking movie he watched.
Oh, God. Okay, you need to stop with this. Stop with the slander, okay?
This is kind of the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, right? I feel like when the first Guardians of the Galaxy came out, people were like, they can make a movie about a tree and a raccoon entertaining. What can't they do? And so the thing that you're espousing, the thing that you're talking about is kind of that same idea where they're like, we're going to make a TV sitcom and make it exciting and make it fun for fans. So at least to me, that's what it sounds like.
I mean, what did you think, Brandon?
I really liked it. I thought that the music was probably one of the things that stuck out to me as being pitch perfect, because a lot of the musical cues are part of what draws me into that I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched, Dick Van Dyke type show. Catherine Hahn was awesome. Her over the top acting style.
She's never bad.
Yeah,
she's not.
She's always great. Yeah.
But this was, to me, I feel like imitating another era is just like a next level type thing. And she did it really well. And so from a technical perspective and acting and all that stuff, I really enjoyed the show. I thought it was a lot of fun.
It was funny. I saw a review from, I think it was IGN, when they were like, who would have thought that Paul Bettany could be a comedic actor? I'm like, have you seen any of the movies that he's done?
That's all
past?
He does.
What are you talking
yeah.
about? Oh, I was like, yeah. You're crazy. Nick, what did you think of WandaVision?
Yes. No, I fucking loved it. I'm not, I'm also not, I don't stay up till midnight for this or The Mandalorian. The difference.
Mandalorian. I let 3 or 4 episodes pile up before I watch it.
That's true.
Otherwise, it's basically. It feels like I'm just watching, 40 minutes of slow moving from one location to another.
That's kind of true, I guess. Compared to this show feels very much like it could be weekly because of the sitcom format. But I was gonna say that, like, I don't.
But that's
on
really quick.
This either.
But that's kind of also the problem in a way, because at the end of the day, people don't watch Marvel for the sitcom angle. They watch it for the through lines, and they watch it for sort of like, we know that there's an undercurrent there, and we're just like, we want to know what that is. And week to week is just, we're not fed. And I'm talking about mostly from the perspective of someone like Danny, who maybe are kind of like, I don't know how I feel about this, is that we're just given kind of maybe about 30 seconds of content that really propels things forward. I mean, we could talk deeper into that, those little threads. And I think I can understand the desire to have more. And that's what we've been sort of trained to like about these Marvel things, is those things that push us to the next story.
Yeah.
But, and continue, Nick.
The point being that I watched them both the same time. I would, like, in the afternoon, as I was like, just, like 2 o'clock, whatever. That's how my thing. But the exception being, I kept waking up thinking it was Friday and being stoked from WandaVision, and every time I had to be reminded by people on Slack that Mandalorian was even out. So that's kind of a difference in excitement. So I'm like, oh yeah. Fuck, oh, it's Thursday. And the other one's like, oh yeah, new Mando's out, I'll enjoy it. But it took me reminding from the spoiler chat to, like, remember we even have a new episode today.
New Mandalorian, there's new Mandalorian out?
No, he's talking about in the past when it was running.
Oh, right,
he's saying he would have to be reminded on Slack that it was out versus now. He's just like, WandaVision's out. But that's kind of not really fair, because WandaVision has only had one day where it's been, boom, brand new show. We haven't had a week-to-week
aspect
yet.
That's true, but
yet.
I haven't felt that way about Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 1. Like, I didn't even watch that on a Friday. I watched it Saturday because I was like, it'll be good. I'll watch it. This is something I'll be like, I'll have to watch Friday. But yeah, I really like that it's we're watching, like, obviously we're parodying these shows. It's funny when you said the yakety yak thing, I was like, it's especially funny because it's Vision, but I think I would have laughed at that in an old episode of something too, even if it was just,
well, that's the thing is, I think
it's spot on
sitcom joke. It's funnier because
it's
Vision
so well.
Having to do it after questioning, like, what is this? Why the song's lyrics make no sense.
Nonsensical,
It legitimately feels like I visited an old show that I watched, and I'm like, oh man, I hope this isn't crap. And then we watched it. It was like, Marvel, you know, references. Some of those jokes still work today. some of those jokes still work. Like, it felt like
my favorite scene. My favorite scene, comedy scene, was when the tree was banging on the window when they're in the bed. And they're in the two separate beds, and he's hiding kind of pretty much underneath the bed sheet and stuff. Oh, well, that was brilliant. That they played so well together. You those two. It. That really did remind. Yeah, exactly. You go.
One of us
check.
He's like, one of us should check it. She's check like, it out. Yes.
I mean, I think the thing that I love about that is the contrast to like their powers, right? These are like she's like an Omega level mutant, and he's one of the most incredibly powerful Avengers. And she, neither of them are like, nah, I don't want to go see what's going on outside. It's a storm. Right? It's just tree banging. So I don't know. Like one defeated.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say one could easily defeat Thanos and the other one could easily defeat Ultron. They're just like, nah, that tree outside, fuck this. Like, I want
to they didn't know it was a tree. It could have been a double Thanos.
Thanos. Thanos.
Thanos.
I do appreciate it. Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, even the minute clip they released is like perfect. You can watch that and you're like, okay, this is packed with old-timey jokes and the Marvel references.
What was the minute clip? I actually took
that's
advantage.
The one they
I was
released
like,
was about like,
I
was what day like, is this? That was like a clip they released first.
And actually, I do want to talk about that. I think, I feel like I'm hoping in retrospect, there'll be a lot more to these episodes, a lot more hints that we didn't realize. Like, I know, I feel like the date, October, August 30, 23rd, is going to be super important in some way. Like in my head, I'm like, was that the day Vision died? Or was that the
day? Well, even like the commercials.
Happened? Yeah. And the commercials with Stark Industries.
The second one was more intriguing to me because it had the Shield logo, Hydra logo on it.
All the watch.
Yeah, for me, it was, I got the impression that you're exploring her trauma. So like with the Stark Industries one, there was a timer, right? And it's a toaster and a timer. And so that was her introduction into the MCU, the idea that, you know, that's what killed her and her brother. And they were waiting for, or I'm sorry, her parents. And now they were waiting for this other bomb to go off. That was their bone to pick with Stark. And so that's kind of what, to me, the toaster represented. Mm-hmm. And then Baron von Strucker was the one who gave them their powers. We'll see if that still holds true. So it seems like we're moving forward through the commercials, at least, into what her trauma is.
Yeah, but I also really,
it was a Stark product. It makes the sound of Iron Man firing off a when they put the toast in, and I was like, what? Because it's all about those, you know, Easter eggs. Even like their address, 2800 or whatever, it's like, does that reference something? Their address of their house is 2800. So even looking at that as a Marvel fan, and I'm sure it does, I just don't know what it is yet. It might even just be a wink that means nothing, but it's
probably where Stark Tower is in New York.
Yeah.
They said it could be, one guy I watched the breakdown, he's like, it could be universe that, but that really does, there's nothing special about that universe in the comics that would lend itself to WandaVision. Because you look at everything, that's the fun of this show, in addition to, it's basically a slow unravel with the little hints, it's a mystery show, and then it's fun to watch for even the Easter eggs and the jokes where it's like, I don't eat, it's like, or I'm incapable of forgetting, like in that 1 minute scene.
He's like, I'm incapable of
and then he forgets.
Yeah. Fun. And one thing I was funny, he's like, oh, that's why this fridge has nothing in it. I'm like, bitch, do you eat? I think you eat food. Like, you're human-ish.
Still a good joke.
Oh, one more thing. About the commercials. I don't know if you guys remember the taglines for each. The one for the Stark one was, forget your past, this is your future. And then the Strucker one was, he'll make time for you. So it's even more like on point.
I also appreciated like for the first episode, it was basically multicam sitcom. And then that moment where DC Parlov was, by the way, that's the character he plays in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's how I always remember him as his boss. DC Parlov was basically choking on something.
Yeah.
And the way it switched to a single cam like show with like the close-ups and stuff, it just felt oddly weird and intimate and really, really terrifying. And you had the mom from That 70s Show basically going, stop it, like being really weird
stop
about it.
They were the moments when I felt there was a glitch in the system, right? Whatever's going on at the moment, whether it's Wanda's imagination or whatever, they were the moments that got me intrigued. This is the bits where she's wavering, or her consciousness is wavering, or her emotional state is on a little bit on the edge here. And I really enjoyed those moments. And I think when they change the camera angles and they change something completely, I think that's to, on purpose, obviously on purpose, but to show us there's something slightly off the sitcom now. This is the, should we say, the real world and not the sitcom world. I like those moments. Yeah. I thought that was really
pretty
cool. Those were the bits I did enjoy.
Sure she caused the choking too. I think
yeah, because she
obvious.
Was very ambivalent, wasn't she? She was very like, okay, Vision,
well,
now
he was
now
shouting
saving.
At her. He was like freaking out first, like part of the program, like, why are you here? Like, what's going on?
And then he banged the table.
Glance, yeah. And she looks away, and then he starts choking.
Well, she
like,
put
she
something
gives him
in
a
his
glance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, like, she just breaks character completely within the show, where it's not like, oh, Vision, will you save him? Like, honey, it was like, Vision, save his life.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
She
yeah.
knows
he's suffered
smart.
Enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Or I've even made she my knows point. To talk to him. Yeah. That yeah. He is there's more to this, and she knows it, and she might even know the Vision's not real because she can just give him a command.
Because they were soon kicked out. They soon left after that, right? I mean, it made it look like that was their decision, but I think she soon got them out of there in her yeah. world after that. They pretty much left, got up and left after that. Well, we're going now. Thanks for a lovely time. You've got the job. Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
You got the promotion.
Yeah, well done. Don't choke me it's again.
Like, you just moved into town and you got the promotion. Okay, that makes true. Sense.
No, but he's trying to figure out what the fuck his job is.
No, that was funny. That was
like
funny. That was like
that genre.
That was like a Friends yeah. joke too. Like where Chandler Bing, that like no one knows what his job is. Like with these generic TV show jobs where it's just like, what do you do? I'm in.
I get the account.
I gotta get the account. Yeah, gotta get the big promotion.
Big account.
You know, gotta update the computer software. Blah blah blah. Like who knows what it is? It's just generic work. But and
like
then episode
those sitcom. I mean, that's obviously making fun. There's lots of jokes like that making fun, or even just like the time period and the thing where it's like, I'm a house suburban mom. Of course, I have all the ingredients for a 6-course meal. Just like hand over
lying around,
like jokes yeah. like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's a.
It's because she's.
I mean, that's
devil.
Just episode. That's just episode one. At this point. Episode two was revolved around the talent show and the magic thing and him getting gum in his system, like swallowing gum.
Makes him
and then
drunk.
You see like the freaking cartoon drawing of the inside. I was just like, this is legitimately perfect the way they're really going all in on the sitcom, the old sitcom angle. It's just great attention to detail.
And apparently that is a Bewitched episode.
Oh, is it?
Like where she's doing stuff and he's trying to cover for her. Like, oh no, that's not real magic.
That's funny. Okay. That makes sense. Makes me like the episode a little bit less, actually. But
well, you can't like it less because it's for the kids.
The kids. For the children.
For the kids.
That's the other thing about this show. I would recommend. Oh God, that was like a Hot Fuzz style, like the greater good.
You interrupted yourself, Nick?
Yeah, I did interrupt myself. Jesus. Brain earlier than normal. Working.
No, remember. So you don't remember what you were going to say. You're just not even going to try.
For the kids part.
But I mean, let's talk a little bit of speculation. At the end of episode one, we did see them pull back from the credits. And like I think a sword logo, and you know this implication that something to do with sword. What are your thoughts on what this is? Because it's very clear this is some sort of manifestation. Do you think this is? Well, here's a question. So I got some not only like Matrix-esque type vibes in terms of like glitch in the Matrix stuff, also like Truman Show type vibes. Like, how many people in that reality are independently a part of they're trying to feed this vision and steer it in a specific direction, and how much of it is completely concocted by Wanda herself, and why is it being watched over by Sword, and what role do they have to play in all this? So it's like a multi-pronged question.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Nick, what are your thoughts on all of those pieces?
All them pieces. The actually watching the episode like it's an episode, which it implies at the end, is very interesting, unless it's more of a metaphor. Because yeah, literally it's playing the credits to the show and then it pulls out and they're watching the show.
I don't think it's a metaphor. I think Marvel tends to be too tangible to do that, play that as a metaphor.
And that's one of the moments in the show where I was like, oh shit, we're already getting into like it's that kind of stuff. But I think most people inside, my theory is that everyone inside is a real person, but she kind of took over an entire town, which is what the bubble is, that was already there and trapped all these people in these fictional roles. Like, I don't, maybe there's one or two sword agents that made it in, and maybe even their minds were erased when they got in, like Rambo.
Oh,
that's her last name.
Yeah. Yeah. Monica Rambeau.
Because she seems like a SHIELD agent who maybe had her mind erased when she went in. And it feels like there have been other, like obviously the beekeeper goes in. I think the only people in there that are real, real and have their own thoughts besides, well, at all, because I think sword people's memories get erased, is Agatha, who, well, no, her name isn't Agatha, is it?
Agnes.
Agnes, which is Agatha and the last half of her last name, who's a witch in the comics who helps and hurts Wanda at times, including giving her twins in the comics, who's often working for Mephisto.
I thought it was Mephisto that gave her the kids.
No, it was the witch, but the witch works with for Mephisto a lot. I don't know, this is what I've been seeing from other people talking about. I really didn't know, I don't know anything about Mephisto until I watched videos about him. But I think, yeah, because I do think they're the villains, and I think we're leading up to Mephisto as Doctor Strange villain. But
was that because we do know that Wanda is going to be in Doctor Strange. I threw a big question, so you kind of understandably kind of went all over the place because there's a lot there.
What else did you? Because like, yeah, I think everyone in there is brainwashed. I think there are sword people in there who are brainwashed. I do think
why is she contained? Okay, you think it's being controlled. So you think it's being controlled by the two powers. So she did not put herself into that state. She did not put herself into that state voluntarily.
I think it's part. It's a little both. I think it's just Agnes is just helping her. She's doing it herself, but maybe she's being drawn in more by Agnes and Mephisto into like where she's losing herself. And they're like, Wanda, can you hear us? And I think the helicopter is a helicopter they tried to fly in, which was the noise, and then it turned into a little colorful toy. And who knows what happened to the people inside.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think that's why it's kind of, I don't know, then there's blood later. I think the helicopter is literally, you hear a giant noise. Well, there's blood
because she cut her hand.
Yeah, the blood, is. They're hinting that.
No, but why is it red?
Some people think that she is.
I mean, why was the little ding red in the commercial? You know, like the little
yeah, that light was red. Yeah, there's I don't a lot know. Of red. It's somehow the other world's leaking in. But I just thought the reason the helicopter was lit up, and the helicopter definitely had a sword logo on it, was I think that was Sword trying to get in, and they just like crashed the helicopter against it.
You don't think Sword is the one just sort of keeping her, incubating her, and watching her?
I think Sword's trying to break her out.
Yes, yeah. Okay. That's what I think. I think the major villain has... Wanda. I don't know enough about this part of the comics to speculate who it is, but you guys seem to be going with Mephisto. But I think Sword is trying to help her. I think they are trying to find a way to rescue her from this situation and not the ones that put her in it. That's what I get the impression of.
Yeah, I agree.
And who is the beekeeper?
I think he was a sword agent.
So another sword agent.
He even had a sword on the back of his uniform too.
Oh, did he? I didn't notice that.
She rewinds it. Yes. In the trailer, you're like, is that Mephisto? So, but yeah, when you see his back.
No. I agree with Danny. What I think, because I distinctly remember somebody saying at one point, like, who did this to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's over the radio.
So I think that
That was Randall Park's character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounded like
Randall Park's in this version.
By the way, that's kind of the other cool thing about this show.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Randomly the next Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Also Kim Jong-un.
The reason why I think it's kind of cool is that we're gonna get let me think. So here's what I think, and I agree with Danny about Sword being the ones kind of watching her trying to help out. But what I read about Mephisto and these kids was that Wanda used her powers and a sliver of Mephisto to create Tommy and Billy. And so these twins are that. And at some point later in the comic books, Mephisto reabsorbs these children, these twins. And so that's,
write them out.
Kind of where this is going. Yeah, that's where this goes. And that's just like the storyline in the comic books. I'm willing to bet that Agnes and or Ralph are Mephisto, and they're kind of the ones that are controlling her and doing this. To what end, I don't know. Maybe they just want the kids. And that it's probably, you know, for the children. They're doing all of this for the children so that they can get these uber powerful kids and use them for something. And then when it doesn't work, they're going to reabsorb the kids.
Who's Ralph?
And so, you know, that'll probably, Ralph is the guy that Agnes is married to.
The guy that, we only hear
the black guy with the afro.
Well, okay. No, you see him. That's not Ralph, is it? No, he's not Ralph. The only time we see them together at all is in the trailer where they're laughing together. Because one of the behind the scenes videos I was watching was talking about how Ralph fits the classic sitcom trope of you never seeing the neighbor's spouse. You can double check. I'm pretty sure Ralph's a separate character. The only reason you consider them together is because that one scene in the trailer where they're talking, it's like we're into like Brady or something land.
I need to watch this again. I watched like, I think half of episode one again. I should finish that. And then I'll
rewatch it all again before the brand new.
So I'm going to stick with that idea. I still think that either she is or they are Mephisto. Cause there's something about the idea of these commercials. Every time they show one of the commercials, it's a man and a woman. It's the same man and woman. And they are, you know, again, revisiting her trauma. And I think there's something very sinister about that. So that's what makes me think that. So we'll see what happens.
Apparently there's a lot of like papers and all say stuff like, you should get a kid. Like one of the paper headlines is like, women excited to hear baby's first words. And
right. Did you guys notice this? So SWORD in the comic books stands for sentient weapon. I'm sorry. Where did it go? Sentient strategic. World. Sentient World Observation and Response Department. Supposedly in the MCU, it's different. It's Sentient Weapon Observation Response Division.
They have a poster that says that. So it is official.
Yeah.
Where was that? Where's that poster?
They released it online before the movie came out.
So and there's also a bunch of Topps cards that came out. So Topps, if you remember Topps, if you ever collected cards, that's another thing that they put it out on. And so I think that that's kind of an interesting thing. It makes it more in line with what you were saying, Nick. So I saw in the Slack chat, you guys were having a conversation about, did they bring in SWORD to replace SHIELD? And the name change seems to imply that. Right? Because everyone with powers is a sentient weapon, basically. And I think that your theory kind of goes in line with that. Because the question would always be, how can you trust SHIELD after what happened? And SWORD kind of moves you beyond having to ask that question all the time.
Yeah, does I think it, if that
it's just a different
if
name.
That plot that never happened, like it never
happened. It's a different comics, name, but it's also SHIELD a different still. Organization. It's a different organization. It's different. It's headed by Nick Fury. Like he created it. Well, he created it. It's also done with the Skrulls. He's been doing this since the 80s. I got the impression
90s
that.
Yeah.
90s. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. 90s. I keep trying to delete Captain Marvel from my mind. and so, you know, we finally get that payoff from Far From Home where you see Nick Fury in the SWORD space station and now we're going to get to see the fruits of his labor. So Nick, before you said that Monica Rambeau is a SHIELD agent, I think she's a SWORD agent.
That's what I meant
as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, that's what SWORD and SHIELD, I'm going to use them interchangeably now.
In the
movies
so.
At least. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same Pokemon game. So it makes sense too. Pokemon SWORD
it's
and
also
SHIELD.
Like SWORD and SHIELD. Wow. They go to,
go together.
Yeah.
So think here, anything else regarding the show? I really appreciated the fact that, you know, there's this whole thing of like, oh yeah, these are going to have they're going to have, you know, feature budgets. And I'm like, not really. It's like, oh yeah, it's going to be $150 million. No. I'm like, yeah, $150 million for like 6 to 8 episodes as opposed to, you know, 2 hours or 2 hours and a half. But this show really shows, oh yeah, basically for the first three or four episodes, we're like using no money. And then basically we're going to use all of the money in like the last half of the show. That way that's right. going to have the feature budget. And I appreciate that they were able to creatively in canon have there be a reason as to why this should, it doesn't have to look as good because it's literally, you know, it could have a sitcom budget. I'm sure it's more expensive for one reason, sitcom, but most of the stuff, yeah. most of the stuff, like the visual effects, they could have done really, yeah, with like they strings with and
wires, yeah.
With wires and strings and like all the other like really cheap things and like the ones where you do the hard cuts to like make something disappear or reappear like and stuff. And or the fades. It's like you do like really the cheapest shit and it's just awesome. And it's perfect enough the time, doesn't cost a lot of money. And then you could just save all of that good Marvel money for later so that when the time comes, yes, we will be able to get a great looking movie quality thing down the line whenever we get to those yeah. episodes.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier was trending Friday because everyone liked WandaVision so much.
Was it trending? Like,
yeah, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was because they liked WandaVision so much. And they're like, if that show is half as good as this show and it stars, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, then we're in for a real treat.
I love it when on Twitter, whenever there's a trend or there's something trending, 90% of them are just sort of like, why is this trending?
Yes. That so
frustrating. More. Why? So to that point, don't look and see why Army Hammer was trending. You don't want
to
know.
I had to. I shouldn't have.
Yeah. Can someone explain that to me? I actually didn't look at that because I was like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Don't care.
Isn't that the company that makes toothpaste?
It yes, is.
That too. That's why he's named that.
Really? I just found out hammer. That it could kill COVID.
Oh, sorry. I'll stop.
Wait, so what about Army Hammer?
The Arm and Hammer fortune.
Wait, before we go on to Army Hammer and cannibalism, I do. So Jammer, wait, you what? Asked. You
know, we're getting there, Jammer.
Well, hold on. We'll get there. You asked, like, what about the show? Was there anything else about the show? I think the thing that I like about the show is the stuff that's going to happen. So we're going to wrap up a couple of threads, so we're going to get to see what happened with Kat Dennings, Darcy from the Thor movies. Like you said, he's going to come back. Evan Peters, who played the other version of Quicksilver, we're going to get to see him. And then James Spader.
Wait, Evan Peters? I saw that he's in it?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Multiverse.
And then James Spader as well is supposedly.
Wait, James part Spader? Of this.
You know, that's a multi. Yeah. So. We'll see. Those are the things that kind of make me excited. I think he
just blew Nick's mind.
Someone should have screenshotted it just then. Someone should have got a screenshot of Nick when he was doing that. Yeah, you did just
blow my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Like seriously, Nick's losing his shit over there about all the things that you just revealed. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming.
Like looking forward to it, you could just tell in the credits that obviously this is temporary. Like the ending credits are, I watch them every time, even though it's only been twice. Like it has, I think Christopher Beck does the music, who's done like half the Marvel movies, and it looks like the Marvel movie opening credits or closing credits, like Ant-Man or something. And you're like, they probably spent more on this than the other than the first two episodes, but I'm excited. Like this is the intense Marvel part at the end, which we're all leading towards.
Oh, last thing for me is I love that they finally addressed Quicksilver's death. Because I don't think that it's ever really been talked about outside of Age of Ultron.
When did they?
Yeah, so she was talking to. Oh, fuck, my bad.
Talk about
oh, no, that's episode 3. Oh. Fucker.
Bastard.
I did like.
I'm
You're
sorry,
a terrible jokes. Person, I'm Jones.
Stop.
How did everyone get all the screeners except for Nick?
And no one else got the screener for this except for Jonesy.
My bad.
No, that's not true. Manny
I totally forgot about that.
No, I
You're
mean,
a terrible
here,
person, Jonesy.
Chat. Oh.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'll break it off.
I'm going to erase that.
Yeah, erase what he said.
Beep!
I did like the Sokovia references in the first episode a lot. When they were trying to just describe why
she's European.
Shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sokovian thing.
So what do you guys think August 23rd is?
It actually meets many real life dates with Marvel. Like the date they shut down. One of their comic stores, like online stores and stuff.
But I mean, I like to think it's actually important to like their story in some way. So I'm asking what you think, what it is there. It's a Monday. That's unhelpful.
Was it a Monday?
I don't remember that in the calendar.
No, it's a Wednesday.
Which was that? That's the important part.
WandaVision killed.
You know what's funny? If you type in WandaVision slash August, like it automatically comes up.
23rd. I mean, if you type in August 23rd, Marvel follows it.
What? Yeah. What did they say?
Everybody wants to know, apparently.
Oh. I mean, no one knows. That's
yeah, it's a bunch of speculation.
In my head, I like to think it's, I mean, I'm probably wrong, but for me, it's a love there. Maybe it's when he was killed or when basically she lost the one she loved, which I can imagine. And maybe that's sort of like a traumatic thing that is maybe a fixation within her reality.
August 23rd.
I'm like, because April 27th is when Infinity War came
it's
out.
It's like, but add four to it, and it's April 27th.
Exactly, and that's the movie where Vision died.
But that's
why I also like a little Easter egg, is we're seeing Vision in black and white, which is the last time we saw Vision when his stone got ripped from his head, because
that's
what dead and coming back Vision in the comics looks like.
Wait, but for it to be the day that she lost her love, wouldn't August 23rd also have to be the day of the snap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even what are you saying? More,
they should disappear.
What other secrets do you have that you want to inadvertently share with us and ruin our next episode of the show, Jonesy?
Yeah.
I got nothing.
The more I'm talking about this, the more we're talking about this, Jonesy, and talking to you specifically, the more I'm convinced that I am correct about this basically lining up pretty well with Madoka, the third movie, and what would happen there. You know what I'm talking about? I mean,
speaking of code now, Nick.
I mean, in that movie, there was this sort of idealistic world in reality.
What
it was. And it turns out all the people they had fallen into her own witch's labyrinth, and she basically created this own reality that was concocted by the bad guys to help study and figure out.
Right.
That's how I understand the plot, actually.
Yeah,
you're right.
I think you're right.
Let's go back. Yeah, did I first say that? Hold on a second. WandaVision.
It's been months. Okay.
It's been longer than that. Hold on a second. I'm going to give me 10 minutes.
Figure this out.
Longer than months, so it's been years.
Maybe. It's been it's been a while. Let's see here. Sorry, my internet is slow. Did I lose you guys?
He can pat himself on the back.
No,
I'm going to pat myself so hard. I wrote the article. Please. Does WandaVision have the same exact plot as this? What?
Dear listener, thank you for persevering with us right
so
now.
This was
during our Google search.
It was written February 2020.
Pretty good.
So
what if you'd have written it? What if you'd have written it on August 23rd?
That would have been crazy.
Oh shit.
I love how much you committed to that,
four
Nick.
Times.
I feel right now is a good time to address the Jonesy. Are you listening? Is your everything all right? Everything's working sound wise. I need to address the elephant in the room, of when What's you that? Gesticulated the number three. You did it the German way.
Yeah.
Not the American way.
He would not have been caught in that bar.
This is actually painful.
Like, really.
This is more painful.
Yeah, this is more painful for me. Wait,
well,
it's hard for me.
I've known people. Not that way.
Yeah. Stupid.
This is way easier.
Gotta reach across and like pin
you
got down.
Look at I'm spasming.
One, two, three.
By the way, this is terrible radio. Let's not. We should probably not do that for.
Well, I don't think they really wanted us to see us gesticulating hand finger gestures, because it could have gone into. We could have got a tying it all back to the beginning of the show. We would have got a triple X rating.
It's true. Boom.
Anything else? Is that it? Is that it done? Are we doing who watches?
I feel like there's going to be a lot more. I actually really like the fact that they released two episodes and they're doing week to week. I know a lot of people are like, "Oh, they should release it all because they want the threads all to be there." But I'm like, I like the fact that we've been able to speculate and just sort of talk about it.
Yeah.
I will say this. I'm very proud of myself that the only thing that I spoiled was that. I'm very proud of myself.
Danny, yeah. have you appreciated this now a little bit more now that we've discussed it?
Or yes, for sure. I think I've always appreciated the nuances to the episodes. I guess you had it. You hit the nail on the head earlier, Jam, when you said, and we're just so, or I've obviously been just conditioned so much to get so much more. And I'm just obviously very keen to get more. Right, I'm obviously a little bit too impatient with it, but I am definitely excited by it, and I'll be looking forward to the next episodes for sure. I just obviously we've been a bit starved.
It's not even until the end of this one that you're kind of aware that there's a bigger world. Like obviously that pullback where you see someone watching them, but the next one's like, no, this is it. It's like, oh, okay.
Cool. Good. Don't say any more, Jonesy.
That's it. Yeah. I'm done. I'm done.
This is it right here. It happens quickly, like Quicksilver.
Life comes at you fast.
Like Quicksilver. I still think, where have I heard that name before?
At the end of it, Jonesy goes, you didn't see that coming.
Are we back to hand gestures again? You didn't see that coming.
Who watches? I'm down for who watches. Nick, what have you been watching?
Frozen.
Okay, I've been watching.
Been watching Frozen. It was a hint.
I watched 3 more episodes of Ted Lasso.
So oh yeah, 5. How'd that go?
It's good. I like it. I am afraid the thing that's going to make me not like it the much as the rest of you is I find it too sincere. Like,
yeah, well, you do like It's Always Sunny.
Genre I like. I know, and Sunny is a bunch of jerks. And yeah. Workaholics is a bunch of jerks. And Seinfeld is a bunch of jerks.
And I hate Workaholics even like, so much.
And I love, like, you know, 30 Rock and Parks and Rec. But this kind of makes it, I'm not insulting it too much. I love, there's one joke I meant to write down and share, as it was like one of my favorite jokes ever. It was exchanged between him and his coach, because those two are
beard.
Hilarious. Like, I've seen the chess thing, I've seen the, and there's lots of cool character development, and I guess all the conflict relies on the other characters, as well as his mom and his kid were in the last episode. So, you know, that's obviously his relationships, the main tension in the show, as well as being, you know, able to do his job. But just that
Say his relationship with his family is the main tension of the show. I think
I would say it's one of the only tensions in his life.
Oh, God, that's what you mean.
For him, it's like what the main like thing that's wrong with his
life. I thought you meant it permeates the show. And I was like,
oh, no.
But you're just saying that.
I'm looking for things that are actually obstacles to him, because he's so calm and nice. It's hard to find real obstacles. And when a character doesn't seem to have real.
Sure.
What?
Nick, it is his Achilles heel. It is the thing that is the bit that eats away with him. Yeah, but it doesn't permeate the show.
Because basically, I want to say it's like Parks and Rec if there's no tension with Leslie Knope, because she knows she can do everything correctly.
I don't think
I see what you mean.
Knows he can do everything correctly, though.
No, but he's almost so...
I see your point, positive. Though, because...
I like it, but it's too positive.
I see your point, because, like, for me, I think the thing I felt was, like, I was surprised that I liked the show, given how there wasn't as much conflict as I usually like in a show. Everything is so sweet. Like, everything kind of... The things that you think are going to become a big conflict don't really become a big conflict. And then when they do maybe become a big conflict, it's still handled competently and not in a way where you're just like, oh no, what's gonna happen? It's just more like, oh, they dealt with it, cool, now we get to go on having a good time with these characters.
Yeah, like I do enjoy that,
like
part.
like that one episode, and you didn't see this yet, but whatever, spoiler, who cares, who, it's not that kind of show.
These are all
the one where where Roy gets upset at Keeley because she sleeps with what's his name. They handle that so maturely in a way of like, it's, you know, hey, suck it up, you guys weren't exclusive, it happened, get over it, pretty much. And that's basically what he did, you know, instead of having it be this whole big thing for very long that, you know, the angst builds up, that he just kind of gets over it, and then they are happy, and it's great, it's awesome.
Was that the one where they had the wolf pack or whatever they're called,
the wolf pack, get together
and talk about it?
Yeah
I really like that. And I think the reason why I like that so much is that felt like it was talking to the audience very much, like, because men really do have that problem. And so they're like, you're just going to shame somebody for their sexual stuff when you have your own sexual shit going on. Like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I also watched a bunch of political, like scary, and serial killer, not so scary documentaries, like The Night Stalker was I was all out of good serial, docuseries to watch. And The Night Stalker was a 4 episodes that dropped on Netflix Wednesday. But alas, it is also over.
Was it good?
Search.
What was
for
it about?
More. It's about The Night Stalker.
That's no, not it's helpful. About what is The Night Stalker?
A serial killer in 80s Los Angeles. He killed it was like 183-day rampage where he did a lot of stuff. He wasn't a normal serial killer. Sometimes he'd just pick up kids and molest them and then drop them back off. Sometimes he would rape you and carve your eyes out of your head. So yeah, it was interesting. He has so many victims, and then it's a complete story it's mostly told by the two cops, detectives who caught him. And one of them was a younger guy. One of them was like the pro who also took care of the Los Angeles Strangler. So yeah, that was good. And now I'm watching amazing show. Sorry to go to so many shows. On CNN, on HBO Max, they had like the movies series, which was like looking at every decade. Now I found one, looking at comedy, and there are two seasons. And it's kind of interesting because it overlaps, because they'll do like women in comedy, and they'll do sitcoms, and they'll do personal comedy, and they like overlaps. You have like Larry David in every episode talking about some form of comedy. And it's really good for someone who both enjoys comedians doing stand-up and sitcoms. So those are three of the things I've watched.
Danny, what about you?
Yeah, I've been catching up with a few shows, but I also watched a couple of movies of note. One was The Wolf of Snow Hollow. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. And the other one was Beyond the Wire, the new film on Netflix just as I've started talking about.
Is that good? Anthony Mackie.
Who plays Falcon? Yeah, thanks,
Anthony
Josie.
Mackie. Is it good?
Yeah. You know what? Did you see the film with Charlize Theron? Did you see that, though? Did you see the film with Charlize Theron with the immortals?
The superhero
and
ones?
Things? Yeah, I'm with these Netflix shows. I'm getting
the Old Guard.
That's it. Yeah, it's very much like that. It had a lot of the money was spent on the talent, both on screen and behind the camera, and a lot of money spent on some of the special effects. But I do feel that these Netflix shows, they're not spending enough on the story and the script.
Kind of hollow.
So, Jonesy, in answer to your question, yes, exactly that. It was some great ideas. Some of the action scenes were great. Some of the SFX were great, but it just felt empty. It just felt that was a disappointment.
Like power.
And I felt the same. Yeah, I felt the same with Old Guard too.
Power.
The trailers were fantastic. I was bought into it. And well, I haven't even seen that because I had the same vibe from
that
too.
Don't bother. Yeah, it's the same. Well, there you go. Just like you described. Where
but the thing is, I like the Old Guard.
Netflix movie.
And I
never watched
Project Power.
But like, yeah, I don't like them either. I don't like either of them because it just felt like very manufactured. It looked nice, it looked well made, but I just didn't care that much. It was kind of boring.
Yeah. Although I will say this, Old Guard, I feel that if there was a sequel, I'd be a little bit more interested in it if they could do it. The second film, or the first film I should say, The Wolf of Snow Hollow, that's an interesting film to me because it looks beautiful. It's stunning pictures of this snowy town somewhere in the US. Forgive me, I can't remember where it was. And it was shot beautifully, and there were some scenes, some of the wolf, the horrific scenes were really well done. It reminded me a lot of some good scenes in American Werewolf in London. You know, I genuinely felt, fuck that, that would scare me. And then it was interspersed with these bits that were meant to be black comedy, but they weren't funny at all in any way, whether it would be dark or light humor. So that's another film that was a little bit disappointing, had some great moments. If I was going to recommend either of them, if I was to force any of you three or anybody else to watch one of those two, it would be The Wolf of Snow Hollow, because I'd be really keen to get your guys' impression on it. However, I'm not saying drop everything and go and watch it. It's like, if you get time, it's only 1 hour, 21 minutes long. Check it out, but purely because I'm interested to know what you think, and not because it's this fantastic movie. But it's certainly got its moments. So The Wolf of Snow Hollow and Beyond the Wire were two films I've caught up with this week since I caught you last.
You know what that reminds me of is you mentioning the hour and 21 minutes. I was like, this is my mind train of thought when you said hour and 21 minutes. And I'm like, I like when movies are that short. You know what else was a good movie that did that? Was Phone Booth. Back with Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
Jack Bauer.
Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah. Directed by, oh my God, Batman and Robin.
Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher directed it. That movie was fun. I don't know if it was great, but it was fun. It was just watching it. It's so good. Anyways,
before we move Jonesy, on, what about other you? People watch? Oh, I was going to bring this up because probably I think Jonesy and Danny may have watched this. The finale to Star Trek Discovery, I think. That was not last week.
Yeah.
So good.
I watched it.
So good.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed that. So I did see that. But I saw that last week, right?
Yeah, you saw that before us.
Question
Jonesy.
For me.
Yeah.
Really cool sequence. It felt like it was out of a J.J. Abrams movie with the turbo lift.
Yeah, so they did a whole retrofit on that ship.
It reminded me of the Minority Report with Tom Cruise, you know, when he's jumping up and down on top of the lift. That reminded me of that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Spoilers. I know they did the retrofit, but I don't see why the Enterprise couldn't do that too. They just never showed it to us.
Because it's 1,000 years in the future.
Yeah, but why didn't the ships already have that? Anyway.
It's 1,000 years beyond anything we've seen, so I don't...
Yeah, but we don't have any confirmation the ships couldn't already do that. We don't know if it's just up and down. But yeah, that was my question afterwards anyway. Seemed to think it was what sense to be your first ship too, but...
I don't... Probably not in that way, but anyway.
It wasn't even that important a question. I was just like, wait, can turbo lifts always do this shit? It's like the Willy Wonka.
I don't think so, because you've seen episodes in the Next Generation where they're actually climbing up. So there's one episode with Picard and some kids, and they get stuck in a turbo lift, and they're crawling out. And it just looks like a normal shaft. Yeah, exactly. I'm something of a role model. Yeah.
More importantly, why is it called a turbo lift and not a turbo elevator? Because it's American, right?
No, because it's the world.
Sounds like cool. It's we're using words from.
We know what the word lift means, Danny.
You're using English.
We can appropriate English for our own purposes. Thank you very much.
Fair enough.
And
that's what Americans do.
Star Trek Beyond seemed to confirm that too. When it just launches Bones and Spock out into space when they're in a turbo lift and they decapitate the Enterprise.
So, fuck? Spock is in there?
Spock's in Star Trek Beyond, yes.
Oh, actually, I thought you said
Discovery. So
what? He's in Discovery?
Season 2.
Yeah, season 2.
You're acting like I don't know. You're acting like I watched this as if I know.
It's in season 2.
It's pretty good. Yeah, you should watch it.
I don't have I don't have CBS All Access. CBS or whatever the hell it's called these days.
That's it.
Still, they haven't changed
it. They're going to change it to Paramount Plus.
They are going to, but they haven't.
They are.
We better let Jonesy speak in a minute, or he's gonna.
Yeah, Jonesy, what have you been watching?
Three finger tap.
Lupin. So let's see, Lupin.
What's
Lupin's
so funny?
Pretty good. Oh, I enjoy that.
I heard good things. Yeah.
I think this one Punch Man. I've been trying to watch that. Get back into that because I still haven't seen season 2. And what was the other thing that I watched?
Come on, Jonesy, one more.
Been watching like this show. My wife likes The Neighborhood, and so it's like a thing that we're catching up on. That's fun. This is a comedy on CBS All Access. It is a comedy on CBS All Access. It's like network.
Oh, it's with Hank Green, Max Greenfield, the guy from New Girl,
yes,
and Cedric the Entertainer.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
Is it The Neighborhood, Jonesy, or Neighborhood?
I think it's The Neighborhood. So yeah, that stuff is pretty fun. Lupin is weird because it's French but dubbed in English. Like, that's the default.
Oh, so it looks like a cartoon. Is that the art theft? Or it starts with an art theft? Okay, gotcha. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it. It's like it because of that dubbing, it's very cartoony because the voice isn't quite in the moment, but the story is interesting. And it's surprisingly like interesting. The thing that piqued my interest was the name, because I was like, is this like a live action Lupin the Third? Like, no, this isn't that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah,
it was funny.
I'm already here. I'll just click in her.
I have a chat from high school friends, and it's like, Lupin's good. And I'm like, Lupin the Third, and they're like, I have no idea what that is. And I'm like, okay. By the way, the Lupin the Third CG movie looks really good. I haven't seen it. The CG movie from Lupin the Third. Have you guys seen that? The animation looks so good.
Is it out? Is it done?
It's done. I don't know if it's out in America or where you can watch it, but like the trailer, look for it. It's they bring it, like they capture the style of the not animation. What's the word I'm looking at? The art style really well in CG in a way that I just did not expect.
I'm really wary of that because that, like, when they
it looks
that
really
with,
good.
Ghost in the Shell, I was like, that's
no,
gross.
It looks really good. Like, seriously, right now as we're watching this, just Google it and like just play it silently. The animation is really good.
Listen, I care about the audience. I don't want them to suffer through my Google search, so I'll do it later. No, let you know like what I think.
I'm looking at it right now. It is impressive.
Yeah, yeah, it looks really good. It's unexpected. It, like, I didn't even know you could have something that looks like that. And which is, in stark contrast to that, you have Earwig and the Witch, which is the new movie from Studio Ghibli that I thought would have a similar animation style, but it's way stiffer. It's their first CG feature, and it looks, the art looks okay, but the animation does not look great. Yeah, so it's just, I'm kind of disappointed in that. Anyways, what else have you been watching, Jonesy? Is that it?
Yeah, it's really it. I haven't really been watching too much of anything.
I've been re-watching Silicon Valley, which if you have not seen, it's so good. You guys should really watch Silicon Valley. It's amazing. Like, some of the best writing in general, not just from a comedy perspective, but just like, I have never seen a show that literally epitomizes make the worst thing that can possibly happen to these characters constantly at every moment. And then somehow within the course of an episode or maybe even 5 minutes, it goes from the worst thing to like, boom, they're on top of the world again. And it's just like, they're able to make it really, really painful and really stressful, but then it pays off in a really rewarding way. And it's just really strong character writing, really amazing in terms of the obstacles they put in front of them. It's just on another level. Like, I think it might be one of the strongest comedy shows out there that I've ever seen. And so if you haven't seen it, there's like, I think 5 or 6 seasons. I don't know how many at this point or how many, I think it ended with 7 maybe, but it's all done. It's really good. And I highly, highly recommend it. I'm rewatching it. Yeah.
Yes. I think I skipped the last season, but I used to watch it.
Would you agree with anything I've said, Nick?
It is funny and tightly written, but it reminds me of a show I hate that I used to watch. I don't hate Silicon Valley. It reminds me of Entourage.
I never
like
watched
Vince
Entourage.
Didn't get the movie. It's like Vince got the movie. It's that kind of Silicon Valley where it's the way you described it. Where it's like, we're fucked. It's like, no, we're all good. And the next
we're back, baby.
Break, and it's like, we're fucked.
I just
and they're really bro-y. I don't know. At least Erlock.
What I really love about it's a relationship I actually didn't like was a relationship between Martin Starr's character and Kumail Nanjiani's character, Guilfoyle, and what the fuck is his character's name? Raj? That's not right. I don't know what it is. Anyway,
it is Raj, isn't it?
Is it Raj? No, that's wrong. What the heck is it? Dinesh.
That's good.
Dinesh.
Anyway, like, Dinesh's character, he's just so like insecure and angry and hates Guilfoyle so much. Like, so many times in the episode, he's like, fucking Guilfoyle. And there's this one moment where he like gets ahead of him and he's just all like, what was it? He was bragging that like he finally came, like something he did finally worked. He's like, I'm the fucking tortoise, Guilfoyle. I'm the fucking tortoise. Like, he was just so mad. But I didn't like his character the first time I watched it, but I think I've grown to appreciate it more and more as I've rewatched.
I will say, to your point, Jammer, the writing and the cast is really good.
It is.
Yeah. And what's his name? The guy who plays Gavin Belson is really perfect in the role. Belson is a great villain because Hooli. Usually it's like he owns Hooli, like this big multi, you know,
just Google.
Basic Google, essentially yeah. Google. But like he is very, very self-sabotaging. So it's not just a case of like they're the big bad villains and, you know, they're just big and bad, but it's like he is woefully incompetent because of his short-term vision, and it just shit goes equally as wrong for them as it does for the main characters. So it's like you see them go through like similar ups and downs, and it's just rewarding when they like they're able to constantly turn the tables between who has leverage over the other. It's just really satisfying. There's one other thing I was watching recently that it was new and I can't remember what the hell it was, but I was like, oh, I should
I have
show
a rec
that.
For you, Jammer. Now
what's that?
Halt and Catch Fire is literally Silicon Valley meets Mad Men.
Yeah, you actually convinced me to watch. I watched 2 episodes and I was like, this is good. I watched 2 episodes, but I just never got back to it. I'm realizing now I'm not a drama person. If there's something, it's like, it's just drama. I'm just like, I'll watch an episode or two and then kind of get bored. I never liked Mad Men.
With computers and up and down and interesting characters, which is why I like to call it Mad Men meets Silicon
And I did
Valley.
Not like Mad Men. I was bored by Mad Men. So, yeah. Oh, I've actually also been watching the newest season of Superstore, which if you haven't watched it, it's really funny. They had a, I didn't realize they actually started this new season as recently as last October. And they had a whole COVID episode where they were basically, it was over the course of months as the progression of COVID and what it's like working at a, you know, a Walmart type store during COVID. And it was really funny.
I saw the ad for that where he like gets sneezed on and they're like,
yeah, the guy, literally the guy, the customer, he takes off his mask to sneeze to the side and sneezes on the guy. And the guy just goes like that and like drops his, like his iPad. And then a smash cut to like him being sprayed down by the assistant manager. It's really funny, but it felt real. It felt kind of dark and real in a sad way. Like you're watching, you're just like, yeah, that's how it happened. Yep. That was 2020.
Okay. So you mean those moments are darker than the show normally is?
I mean, it's not really dark. It's more dark in a way where it's like, it's funny because it's true, but it's sad that it's true. Yeah. Anyways. That's it from me.
Good stuff, you guys. All lots right. of good shows.
You want to shut down? You want to close? Who's close?
Let's close it.
Shut down.
All right. Dear listeners, if you like what you heard, do all the socials. Like, rate, subscribe, comment, share. We definitely appreciate it. Also, LRM Online has other great content on the website, lrmonline.com. So go check it out for your listening and reading pleasure. Also, we've got a Discord, so go check it out so you can have conversations with us about anything that we've talked about on today's show. So if you want to talk about WandaVision, if you want to talk about the number three and how you hold your finger, if you want to talk about what you've been watching, let us know. Come in, join, conversate, chill, dude, or dudette, and have a good time. Jammer, where can you be found?
You guys ever watch Stand and Deliver? You guys ever watch that movie?
Yes.
Remember that part where he's just like, you know your timetables? He's like, yeah, I know my ones, my twos, and threes. And he flips them off with the third one. And that's what this whole conversation has reminded me of. You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, where I occasionally go to usually show dog photos. You can also find my new book that just launched called Glitch King under the name AJ Cerna on Audible and Amazon. And if you haven't checked out God Mode, you could do that because it's a 2-book series. You can watch the first one, then go straight into the second one. And yeah, Audible, audiobooks. It's 2 books, 26 hours of content. Check it out.
All right. And Danny, where can you be found?
Mostly on the Twitterverse at Danny K. Bartlett. That's it.
That's it. That's the tweet.
That's it. That's all I got.
And Nick Dahl, where can you be found?
I'm at Geeky Nick Dahl on Twitter. I'm right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. And if you want to hear more about WandaVision, I have a new podcast, Marvel Multiverse Mondays, where we're going to be covering basically what the Katina was doing with Kyle before, where we're just going to be covering that week's episode. We're not really going to do news or anything. Basically have new Marvel content every week this year, more or less. So check in every Monday where we'll go in a super detailed discussion about WandaVision and then Winter Soldier and then Black Widow, yada, yada, yada. Spider-Man 3.
All right. Fantastic. And you can find me at Sir Jonesius on Twitter and Instagram and contributing to the website. And of course, right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Folks, as always, thanks for listening and we will catch you on next one. Hasta lasagna.
Getting on you.
Mission accomplished.
You didn't see that coming.
What did you? You just hit your boom mic. What was that noise?
Oh, I just slammed on my notebook.
It's just a tree on the window. It's just a tree. Someone should go check it out.
When I hit my
someone
desk,
someone should check it out.
The Goba arm that I attached my microphone to was for.
Yeah, that's what. I'm gonna stop mine.